Welcome to University Matters on Campus FM. This is Patricia Camilleri, inviting you to discover what research, projects and events are taking place at the University of Malta. To have with me today on University Matters two guests. Perhaps I can say just a few words about them. Dr. Pauline Gallia. Dr. Gallia graduated from this university in 1977 with a BSc honours in Mathematics and Physics and later an MSc Physics in 1979. She was awarded a PhD in Geophysics at the University of Wellington in New Zealand in 1995. At present, she's a senior lecturer at the physics department and responsible for the Seismic Monitoring and Research Unit, SMRU, which is what we're going to be speaking about today. Dr. Gallia has been involved in seismic recording and research since her MSc project in 77, and after completing her PhD, took the initiative of participating in the Mediterranean Network of Digital Seismographs operated by INGV in Rome, and a new digital seismic station was established in 1995. Through participation in various projects, and most recently with the setting up of the SMRU at the physics department, seismology at the University of Malta has been consolidated, the study has been consolidated and advanced as a research area, now with three seismologists currently at working with the SMRU. Dr. Gallia's main interests are seismicity and tectonics of the central Mediterranean region, the evaluation of the seismic hazards, the Maltese Islands, and the assessment of seismic risk, particularly the measurement and prediction of ground shaking. Dr. Gallia has participated, obviously, in numerous international conferences and fora and published many papers in peer-reviewed journals. And my second guest is Dr. Matthew Ajous. He graduated from this university in 2004 with a BSc Honours in Physics and Computer Science and AI at Artificial Intelligence and an MSc in Physics in 2007. He was awarded a PhD in Geophysics at Trinity College Dublin, Ireland in 2013 through a scholarship from the Dublin Institute for Advanced Studies. At present, he is a Research Support Officer at the Seismic Monitoring and Research Unit within the physics department. Dr. Ajous has been involved in seismic recording and research since his BSc project in 2003, and following his MSc project, a website was developed to facilitate daily analysis of earthquakes recorded in Malta. We'll be hearing more about that later. His main interests are seismicity and tectonics and the central Mediterranean region, early warning, earthquakes and earthquake statistics. However, here I have to say that Dr. Ajous is a man of many talents and recently gave us a fascinating talk on the link between music and earthquakes at a recent evening's on campus event. And thank you very, very much, both of you, for being here today. And I always give a little bit of a look into the biographies of my guests, because I think it's important that the listeners know where you are really coming from as researchers. I think we ought to perhaps kick off with a general question, which is, of course, what is seismology, Dr. Gallia?
Okay, seismology is the study of earthquakes and their effects and what we can learn from them. Malta being in the center of the Mediterranean, it's natural that we should have an interest in earthquakes and seismology. The Mediterranean basin is one of the most active regions of the world as regards earthquake activity, because it is at the confluence of two large plates that make up the Earth's surface, the African plate and the Eurasian plate. And it has a history of large and destructive earthquakes that have killed hundreds of thousands of people in the Mediterranean, like the 1908 Messina earthquake, the 1693 Sicilian earthquake, and going further back, large earthquakes in Greece in the 19th century, and so on. There's a long list of destructive earthquakes. The study of seismology involves the study of several aspects of earthquakes, both good and bad. We tend to think of the bad aspects of earthquakes and the destruction and the deaths it causes. But the study of earthquakes has also a lot of beneficial aspects. And there are several areas of seismology. For example, one area of seismology is the actual study of where earthquakes occur and how they are related to plate tectonics, to these large slabs making up the Earth's crust, on whose borders most earthquakes occur. And the study of where earthquakes occur and their relation with plate tectonics provides a lot of information about these surface processes on the Earth. And that is essential if we are to have an idea of which are the most dangerous places on Earth and where to pay more attention to building regulations and so on. So it's very important to know which areas of the Earth's surface are more prone to earthquakes and to how big the earthquakes that occur there can be. Another area, which is purely scientific, let's say, is the study of the Earth's interior. Most of what we know about the Earth's interior and its structure comes from the study of the seismic waves or the energy released by large earthquakes, which travels through the whole interior of the Earth and is recorded by numerous seismic stations that are installed on the Earth's surface. So a large earthquake, say a magnitude 7 or a magnitude 8, occurring anywhere on the Earth's surface, let's say we can imagine it as illuminating the whole interior of the Earth, like sending out a huge suite of waves that illuminates the Earth's interior. And by studying the arrival of these waves on the Earth's surface, all over the Earth's surface, a lot of information can be obtained about the Earth's interior. So this is a scientific aspect which is extremely interesting and provides a lot of insight into our planet. Unfortunately, earthquakes, when they occur close or under populated areas, because many earthquakes occur in unpopulated areas, very large earthquakes, but we hardly hear about them because they don't do any damage. But when earthquakes happen to occur close to populated areas, if they are large, they can produce a lot of damage and human loss. And one other aspect of seismology is the societal impact of earthquakes. And this is the interface between seismology and engineering, which is becoming a very important area of research. So another aspect is to try and model mathematically or even measure instrumentally the kind of ground shaking at a particular place that an earthquake would produce. So to actually numerically predict how hard the ground will shake and what effect that will have on buildings. So the prediction of how hard the ground will shake is the remit of seismology. But then that provides an interface to building engineers, because then they can assess how buildings will respond, and then they can engineer buildings appropriately. These days, it is this sort of interface between seismology and engineering is becoming very important, and let's say the only way to prevent losses and human losses by earthquakes, because we believe that earthquakes cannot really be predicted in a useful way that will enable, say, evacuation of a populated area. They cannot be predicted in a particular time and place with accuracy that can be useful for preventing human loss. The best way to counteract the negative impact of earthquakes is to build buildings appropriately and soundly, that they do not collapse and kill people. So that's one very important area of seismology.
Obviously, we're researching now about it and the technology which we'll speak about, but people have been earthquake watching for hundreds of years. And so, exactly. Yeah. So you're sort of carrying on a tradition, really, or building on a tradition of seismological research.
Yes, yes. And of course, we must say that in recent decades, vast improvements have been made both through the technology of seismic recorders as well as through computing power, because a lot of numerical modeling, a lot of analysis of data available now involves huge amounts of data, and there's been a very rapid acceleration of knowledge through the use of technology and computing power.
You've obviously been a pioneer here in Malta in the seismic research, which has developed into this SMRU. So perhaps you can tell us how that came about.
Yes, basically I started my interest in seismic research in way back in about 1977 when I finished my BSc and started my master's. There was a group of German scientists who wanted to install a station on Malta, and I got involved in that and did my MSc on that. And then out of necessity, I continued to maintain the station and so on. Recently, fortunately, we've expanded somewhat because of the employment of another two seismologists at the moment. One is Sebastiano D'Amico, who is an Italian, and Matthew Agius, who's here as a research officer. So that gives us quite a bit more momentum, let's say.
Perhaps we can bring Dr. Agius in at this point to tell us something about what the SMRU does, really.
The SMRU has three main aspects in its research. One is to monitor earthquakes, particularly around the Mediterranean Basin and, of course, around the Maltese Islands. The second aspect is to measure the ground response on the island. So when you have an earthquake, it might affect different places in different ways, mainly because for different layers that there's on the island. And now recently we're starting on an initiative to reach out for the public. So we're gaining this momentum and we're moving it on.
The SMRU will be part of various projects, I imagine. I mean, there's no escaping the EU projects, which we speak about so much on this programme. I'm sure you've been partners in some of those.
Yes, in fact, in 2002, I think, we were part of a big project, European-wide project, which was essential for us to convert to real-time, what we call real-time networking. Real-time networking is a system whereby, say, in Europe, most stations or a large number of seismic stations like ours transmit their data in real-time to a central or one or more central data centers, so that if an earthquake occurs anywhere in the world, the data from all stations in the network is analyzed immediately, and within a couple of minutes, all the information about that earthquake is known, where it was, how big it was, how deep it was, whether it has the potential to create a tsunami, for example, or whether it is close to an inhabited area, so that the estimates can be made of what damage that earthquake will create. So real-time linking, real-time networking is essential these days. And so that project enabled us to become part of this real-time networking in Europe. This year, we also started participating in another project, an Italia-Malta project, which is CIMIT, which is led by the Civil Protection, the Regional Civil Protection Authority in Sicily. And it is, again, a collaboration between civil protection departments and seismology and also some geology. So the University of Malta is participating through the physics department, the SMRU, and also the Department of Civil and Structural Engineering of the Faculty of the Built Environment. So our input is the scientific part of this effort, really, in the evaluation of seismic hazard in the Maltese Islands, and also the vulnerability of Maltese buildings, something that hasn't really been researched enough, I think. So this will give us the opportunity to carry out studies on the vulnerability of buildings in Malta, and as a result of the input from our side of what we expect from seismic shaking, from earthquake shaking.
Yes, I must say, when I was reading up in preparation for this interview, of course, I was a bit taken aback when I looked at the building, the vulnerability aspect of it, because one always thinks of our buildings as being terribly solid and very, you know, can't really push them over very easily. But in actual fact, I suppose if it were bad enough, it would affect our buildings as well.
Well, there are several types of building typologies in Malta. That is perhaps a problem. And the other problem is that in our lifetime, we haven't experienced a really strong shaking. The strongest earthquake maybe that historical times that we know of is the 1693 earthquake, which was in Sicily. It was a 7.4 magnitude in Sicily. And it was quite a bit of ground shaking here in Malta and damage of several buildings.
Including the church in Mdina.
Yes, yes, or part of it.
Part of it.
But the problem is that since that time, the building density has increased a lot, by a large amount. And so there are several categories of buildings. There are many well-engineered buildings, which will, of course, stand up to earthquake shaking quite well, and others that may be not so well-engineered. Mm-hmm. In particular, our masonry structures are probably more vulnerable. So I think it's important that at least we know which buildings will stand up to a certain level of ground shaking and which will perform less well.
From what you've said, we're always talking about joint efforts here. This is so very much the key word, the networking, within the university itself here, where you've got different aspects of the same subject. So you've got the engineers onto it, and you've got your side of it, and also the network with abroad. I suppose this is extremely important.
Yes, it's very important. Perhaps Matthew would like to expand a bit on networking.
From seismic point of view, it's, for example, Malta, we only have one station. So if there's an earthquake in Greece, the instrument in Malta will feel the earthquake just when us feel the earthquake. But if you get data from, let's say, Greece, and they felt the shaking immediately because they're closer to the earthquake, then thanks to technology and because the sharing of data, we can perhaps see the waves propagating through. Many of the software that we're, for example, implementing right now has been designed in Germany, but has been being applied in Indonesia. So this kind of different localities with different activity help to improve the software, and even the fact that many countries use the same tools. The collaboration with other countries is also important because you learn from experiences, even to see the advantages or disadvantages of systems. So I think it's very important. And nowadays, communication is very, in a way, easy. You can either exchange emails or even internet calling or making conversation.
I know you've been working on a website, and when I went into the website, and it looks great, actually. And you have not only the bit for the scientists, but you also have bits for other people, the people like me who would just be interested in the subject.
First of all, people who enter the visit the website will be surprised that there's quite a few or quite a number of earthquakes which occur regularly.
Yes, that did impress me. I must say, I was amazed.
What we show on the website is what actually is recorded from our own station. So those technically means that the waves have propagated and reached the island. Particular interest is the local earthquakes which occur offshore, away from the island, and we included a new section in the website where people are encouraged to report if they felt an earthquake, and over the years it seems to be there's some pattern showing up that sometimes there are earthquakes which are only felt, let's say, in the northern part of the island or in the southern part. Of course, these earthquakes would be very small, but it's of interest to know if people actually feel them. Perhaps in the past, people used to ignore them or were in doubt, and in this
or
way,
think somebody
can...
was blowing up a quarry or something like that.
Yeah, so sometimes it does happen that people actually feel a quarry blast rather mm-hmm. than an earthquake. But from our point of view, it's good to at least have a central place where people log their experiences. Eventually, I think it will lead to some scientific contribution when we get a good amount of these logs.
With me today in the Campus FM studio for University Matters are Dr. Pauline Galia and Dr. Matthew Ajous from the Department of Physics to talk about seismology and the Seismic Monitoring and Research Unit.
The information that's being inputted into these databases, is it freely available to scientists? Are you able to access other people's databases? I mean, is this a principle now that you should be able to access?
Well, as to earthquakes, there are different centers. Well, first, as to data, there are special centers which store the data, that archive all the public available data. Which is very important. Let's say if I want to look back to an earthquake 5 years ago, I can not just look at our own station, but actually look if the waves propagated and reached other stations. Then there's a database of bulletins, earthquake bulletins. Until recently, each country has had its own seismic bulletin for that region. Now these bulletins are being shared and available for everyone. As to people reporting them, personally, I'm not aware that such information is shared, but I don't see any restriction.
Sites like the EMSC, Euro-Mediterranean Seismological Center, that is freely available. So it's another alternative for people to report their felt earthquakes. So if there's an earthquake in Greece, for example, you can see on the website people's reports of what they felt.
What about the coordinates for, say, you mentioned before tsunami, which obviously is sort of very much in people's minds, I think. What would be the reasons for creating, say, a tsunami within the Mediterranean? And does it ever happen? Has it happened in the past?
It has happened in the past. I mean, there was, we know of one large tsunami that happened in 365 AD, for example, in the eastern Mediterranean, which destroyed several parts of the coastline of the eastern Mediterranean. The most likely sources for because a tsunami is generated by a specific kind of earthquake. It has to be a large earthquake, normally over magnitude 7. It has to be below the sea, and it has to be a special type of earthquake which pushes up the water column, which pushes up the sea water. So the most likely candidates for tsunami, what we call tsunami-genic earthquakes, the ones which generate a tsunami, are in the along the Greek, what we call the subduction zone, where the African plate is diving below the Greek
so the northern
mainland.
One is going over the...
Yes. And that's where this 365 AD earthquake originated. The North African region of Algeria is also, it could produce tsunami. Southern Italy, the 1908 earthquake, for example, produced a destructive tsunami in that region. And all these kind of earthquakes have been modeled, and the tsunami wave generated from them have been numerically modeled so that we know how long it would take, say, a tsunami wave to arrive from Greece or from Messina. And according to how big the earthquake is, we can model how high the wave would be, for example, if it reaches Malta. So we can prepare. Mm. The unknown factor is the probability or the likelihood of such
that's really
a
the holy grail, isn't it? I suppose
such a tsunami,
for seismic research.
These estimates of probabilities are based on historical knowledge of what happened in the past, but that is never a complete record. I mean, you can't go back, so you can only go back so far. So it's very, very difficult to pinpoint or pin down a figure, saying, for example, there's a probability that it will happen in the next 10 years or 50 years. Mm. I mean, there are estimates of probabilities, but so it's very difficult to convince governments, for example, of the necessity to be always prepared for a tsunami, because it's one of those kind of events that is could be potentially very destructive, but it's very rare. Even earthquakes in our region, large earthquakes are very rare, but when they occur, they could be destructive. Mm. So that's the on ever going problem of sort of what to do, how well to prepare, and how much money to spend in preparing for these events.
Yes, well, with regard to Malta, I mean, you must have a wish list of things which you'd like. I don't know, new instrumentation or something else. In our last half minute, what would be your wish list? What would you be wanting to do?
Well, we've
yours
one
is a very long
list.
We've only got half a minute.
it's in a way, it's taking place. We would like to install another instrument in Gozo, and we have the funding for it, and now we're looking for a location. So I hope in the next couple of months this wish would actually be a reality.
Very good, very good. Well, unfortunately, we've come to the end of our time. 26 minutes passes very quickly. Yes. Thank you very, very much, Dr. Pauline Gallia and Dr. Matthew Ajous, for coming to talk to us about seismology today.
Thank you very much for inviting us.
I would like to remind listeners that Discover University Family Day will take place on Sunday, 10th November, all day at the university's Mceda campus, starting at 10 a.m. There will be something to interest everyone, and details can be obtained on the homepage of the university's website at www.um.edu.mt. Ample parking will be available for this free event. Thank you for listening to University Matters on Campus FM. I hope you'll join us again next week. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye.